Reading as our text today, Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Back in November, the headlines read, Historic Election, referring, of course, to Barack Obama, the first black president in our nation's history. Now, some have pointed to this pivotal event as a good sign of how far we have come in the fight against racism. For over a generation now, we have seen tougher laws against hate crimes, equal opportunity legislation at different levels, education programs, all aimed at stamping out racial prejudice, hatred against people who happen to have a different skin color or belong to a different ethnic group. Now, it's fair to raise a question at this point. Are these outward government-based measures really going to be the solution to this problem? I want you to consider with me a parallel situation. Will tougher laws against shoplifting, more security guards at the mall, better alarm systems in your homes keep people from having greed or coveting? Even as greed and coveting are problems in the heart and a constant condition of human nature, so are things like racism, prejudice, and hatred. You can't force anyone to love anyone else. Now, the only way to deal with the problem in the heart is through the power of God's Word. Specifically, the law of God showing what the problem really is, and the gospel of Christ being the true solution. We may be tempted to think that racism is somebody else's problem, not ours. Compared to the violent actions of the Ku Klux Klan, or white supremacy gang members, or what slave traders and slave owners did a long time ago, we're doing okay here, aren't we? We're not racist, right? Well, you can't play the comparison game, not without deceiving yourself. Though our version of prejudice may be rather subtle compared to others, it's still there. For example, maybe we think like Jonah did toward the Ninevites, those cruel, oppressive Assyrian conquerors back then. Maybe like Jonah, we feel that a certain type of rotten individual or a certain immoral person should get what's coming to them. We'd rather have them become the targets of God's judgment than the recipients of God's mercy, as though their sins are somehow worse than ours. Yeah, we think that way. Maybe it's prejudice that keeps us from helping others or praying for others as we should. Even if we view all races of people the same way, and that could be, we still have our own version of prejudice based on other things. Wealth, intelligence, popularity, talent, looks. Our own guilt here is undeniable. The law of God is speaking to you and me when it says we're guilty of not loving such people, all people, as much as we love ourselves. For that we stand condemned, deserving only God's wrath and punishment. So says the law. Now, turning to the gospel, we find Jesus, the real solution to the problem, and the only one, by the way, who kept his heart pure of any racism or prejudice whatsoever. And that's important. He loved perfectly. It counts as though you did that too. We can tell Jesus succeeded in this by looking at the biblical accounts which show him loving the Samaritan person as much as his fellow Jewish people. He truly cared for the plight of the tax collector and the prostitute, as well as the scribe and the Pharisee. He even loved the men trying to kill him. He had a perfect love for every type of person and every type of sinner, including you and me. And for that reason, we get to see our sins of prejudice and lovelessness nailed to the cross along with all the others. We see our forgiveness paid for with His blood, sealed with His resurrection. We even get to see in Jesus the very best anti-racism theme of all time. It's John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Racial prejudice, or any prejudice we might have, will then have to dissolve, even disappear from the heart, the more we learn to look at people the same way Jesus did. That is a challenge, but it can happen. Though God has made us very different on the outside, what we are inside is essentially the same. Let's think about that. All people without exception have the same type of soul. A human soul which lives on after death and faces the same judgment of God. All people without exception have the same problem with sin and the same need of a Savior. According to the way grace works, God has treated all people with the same measure of undeserved love. The one encompassing death of Christ covers everybody to the same degree, resulting in forgiveness and eternal life applying to everybody to the same extent. Amen for that. Paul says in Romans, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Let's add this up. If God, the maker of all the different races, and the Savior of the entire human race, if He makes no distinction between people, how can we? The text from 2 Corinthians 5 shows you the key to all of this. The key to a good kind of colorblind. The key to a perspective and outlook on people that is free of any prejudice. It's all tied up in the love of Christ. Not that we love Him, but that He loved us so much. The love of Christ compels us, Paul writes. It grabs our attention and holds it. It captivates our hearts and leads us to not only love Him, but to love all, forgive all, pray for all, help spread the gospel to all. This love from Christ will be the only solution to that age-old problem. The only thing that can work from the inside out. Until a day when that age-old problem is no longer there and we have perfect people with perfect hearts living in perfect harmony with God and each other. Amen. Let us close today with a sung prayer. It's hymn 439, stanzas 3 and 4.